This is Humphrey Littleton with my annual I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue Christmas address. At this special festive season, I inevitably find my thoughts turning to those three ancient men who followed a star. It's taken all year, but I've finally shaken them off. The teams travelled the length and breadth of the kingdom in 1998. They went to Leeds and Portsmouth, and then set off again from Glasgow to Cardiff before ending up in Birmingham. This was partly thanks to their desire to see as many fans as possible, but mainly thanks to their hiring a ludicrously cheap minicab. My faithful assistant Samantha is here, eager and ready to help impart the spirit of the season to our many loyal listeners. And around us are many seasonal cards, including this one from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Her message is just typical of the thousands we receive each Christmas from Mrs. Trellis. It reads, "Did you see the little robin with his red breast plump and perky? He flew in my kitchen window and got roasted with the turkey." Our 1998 tour started in the spring when we visited Windsor. While the teams were in such an historic location, they played a round of nursery rhymes. Okay, our next game takes as its subject the nursery rhyme, a children's entertainment that sadly fell from popularity with the advent of the mechanical toy. A prime example was Lego, which became so successful that is now here in Windsor an entire Lego land. For a small fee, parents can bring their children to enjoy a large area of toy buildings constructed out of plastic bricks. Alternatively, they can save their money and take the kids to Milton Keynes for the day. In an attempt to revive the nursery rhyme teams, I'd like you please to update some traditional verses to give them contemporary relevance. Start off, Barry, please.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. This little piggy had roast beef. And now he thinks he's a duck.
Okay, Jeremy?
Hush-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. This is a new birthing technique from France.
Graham.
One, two, buckle my shoe. Three, four, knock at the door. Five, six, pick up sticks. Seven, eight, lay them straight. Nine, ten, bingo!
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. A Frenchman put a match to it, and now it's all aglow.
Ride a cock horse to Banbury Cross to see a fine lady on a white horse. With rings on her navel and studs on her lip, who'd have thought nipple rings would ever be hip?
Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been up to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I told her Geoffrey Archer must never be mayor.
Georgie Porgy pudding and pie went into the gents, now we all know why.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. There came a big spider and sat down beside her. At least he said he was a spider.
Educationally challenged Simon met a pie person. Going to the fair, said educationally challenged Simon to the pie person, BSE, beware.
Graham?
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bowl, and had a colonic irrigation.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone, but when she got there, the cupboard was bare because she'd bought too many lottery tickets.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't want to do. Obviously.
Little boy blue, come blow your horn. You must be very supple.
One more, Barry.
Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle. The cow jumped over the moon. Little dog laughed to see such sport and scored some more stuff on a spoon.
The teams and I have visited Yorkshire on several occasions in the past, and this year saw us in the fine city of Leeds. In addition to its industry, the city has a rich cultural heritage and made famous the great comic writing talent of Alan Bennett and our own Barry Cryer. Used to know his milkman. The good people of Leeds turned out in their dozens to greet the teams, who rewarded them with a game called Job Seekers. Now, as many of you know, Leeds is one of many provincial destinations to which we've come as part of the BBC's ongoing programme to dispel the myths and stereotypes about regional Britain. Which brings us to our next game. A-op mother. If to whip it's in bath. Where's Co? Or to give it its English title, Job Seekers. In this round, one team assumes the role of interviewers, the other applicants for a certain job. The object is for the applicants, while giving the impression of great willingness and enthusiasm, to fail to get the job. We'll start with you, Barry and Graham. I'd like you to be applicants for jobs as air traffic controllers. Tim and Paul, you're the interviewers. Okay, off you go.
What, let me see, what first attracted you to the job?
Which one of you said that? The old eyes, what they were?
Just follow the sound of my voice.
I'm sure. Oh, right. Yeah. You're over there, right? But I think what attracted us was there's a lot of sitting down involved.
Have you had any previous experience of sitting down?
Yes, I have to sit down a lot because I often drop off to sleep. Unexpectedly, and it's a bit of a shock to the system if you're standing when that happens. So I do need a job where I'm seated for most of the day.
Have you had any previous experience in this air traffic control?
I'm sorry, I was miles away.
Do you mind if I pop out for pee for a minute? It's just the old problem, you know. Oh. I can't be more than 2 minutes sitting in the same place.
That's all right. We've got a bucket in the corner.
Yeah. We're putting for a lottery grant to get a commode.
Yes. Will I be able to see it from where I'm sitting?
You'll be able to smell it. Ah.
So when can you start work?
Anytime. Oh, anytime.
Tuesday?
Tuesday? Oh, blimey, sorry. I just had one of my panic attacks.
Slug it down again.
Are you familiar with the latest radar systems?
Sorry?
Oh. Radar.
Radar. Radar. Oh, yeah. I'll never miss an episode. My favourite, Mash. You never watch it, do you?
I don't watch much television because, you know, if I watch a screen for any length of time...
So, we got the job.
Oh, I think you have, definitely, yeah.
Right, let's try that the other way around. Tim and Paul, you can be applicants for jobs as vets. Barry and Graham, you're the interviewers this time.
Oh, well, welcome to the surgery.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As a vet, what attracted you chaps to the job in the first place?
Well, I like working with people.
Have you had any training with animals at all?
Any experience with animals?
I was a butcher.
Yes.
And I was a butcher's mate.
Yeah. Slaughterhouse, 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Well, you certainly know your animals.
Well, not for very long.
And you're happy to work with all types of animals, I take it, are you?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
Domestic cats and dogs.
Achoo! You said it! Oh,
there's definitely a cat in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Set you off again.
Achoo!
Sorry, he gets every time, there's a C-H, you know, he goes.
Does that spell cat?
Achoo! Always asking. He's even allergic to the spelling.
Snakes?
I don't like snakes myself, actually. No, they bring me out a rash. Sort of eczema.
Ah, yes. Horses? Horses?
No, just eczema, really.
How about farm animals? Cows.
What, those big things with horns?
Yeah.
You've got to be joking.
Well, I'd be no good with cows. I've got very short arms.
Yeah. Gerbils.
Pardon? Wasn't he Hitler's propaganda minister?
I like gerbils in their place. Yeah. You can never shift them, I find. Have we got the job?
Later in the year, my teams and I were to receive a warm welcome from the people of Glasgow. The city we see today grew up in the 18th century, becoming Scotland's major port for trade with the New World. Sadly, rapid decline followed with the American War of Independence, when the revolutionary colonists heroically fought the British Redcoats to rid themselves of awful holiday camp comedians. The teams had trained hard for this one, and competition has seldom been keener.
It's the quick-fire buzzer round now, teams. This needs little explanation from me, except to say that it's on the buzzer as ever, and it's quick-fire. Samantha's ready at the scoreboard, where, as usual, it'll be 1 point each or one away, otherwise it goes to the other side if not. So, fingers on buzzers. And Tim got his finger on the buzzer there first. 1 point, Tim. Sure. And on we go. So, fingers on buzzers. That was Barry. Okay, so the teams are now level pegging. Fingers on buzzers, please. Well, at last, Graham. Yeah. Yep. Fingers on buzzers.
I don't think mine's working.
What, your buzzer?
No, my finger. I was right. Ah.
Okay, one more. Fingers on buzzers, please.
Hum.
I don't know who that was.
Is there something there's something missing in this round. Just because you're losing.
On the political scene, the year saw much progress towards self-determination for the Scots and Welsh, a topic much in evidence when my teams and I visited Cardiff. At the famous Arms Park, Welsh rugby has for many years epitomised the Five Nations Cup, when the social and ethnic differences of the Irish, Scots, French and Welsh are set aside in a spirit of unity for the shared enjoyment of stuffing it up the English. Another event to bring top entries to Cardiff is the annual Singer of the World competition, possibly the greatest international sewing machine championship of them all. But don't let me give the impression it's only the cream of world-class talent that ever visits Cardiff. Let's hear the teams demonstrate the point with a game based around the notes certain people might pin to their doors when they pop out at lunchtime. Suggestions, please. Graham, will you start?
One from Nicholas Soames. Gone to lunch back in April.
Peter Mandelson's door just says, I'm out.
Max Boyce, just popped out for a leak. And Melinda Messenger, just popped out.
Back shortly to lose the trek.
There's one from Kate Moss. Gone to lunch, back now, actually.
The Queen, gone to launch.
Barbara Cartland, completely out to lunch.
Maybe we won't come back at all. The Apathy Society.
General Custer, me and the lads have popped out for an Indian.
Quasimodo out to hunch. Large bells, please.
This is just wishful thinking. The goodies, back in fashion.
And John McCririck, gone to lunch, back naughty boy in the 3:30 at Haydock Park.
I wouldn't be long, Mike Atherton.
No show worth a look has ever toured the UK without visiting Birmingham, and the teams particularly enjoyed their trip as none of them had ever been there before. As Birmingham is the technological heart of our nation, we thought it appropriate to play a game worthy of the computer age.
As the internet continues to grow, websites become ever more useful. In fact, websites and email have assumed such a prominence as the means to disseminate and share today's popular culture that very soon we won't need walls in public toilets at all. Teams, I've commissioned a special internet literate game called Spot the Website, in which I'll ask you to share some of your favourite website and email addresses, past and present. And Tim, will you start, please?
OJ Simpson. O dot, J dot, backslash, backslash, backslash. Escape.
Titanic. At iceberg. Dot dash, dot, 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 dash.
Bert at BBC, 2F dash long stop.
EastEnders at dot, dot, cotton, dot.
The Prostate Society. Desperate at WC4A slash. Oh, and another slash.
Guardian. Slot, dip, backward slash.
Tintin at it, oh, don't stop.
Robert the Bruce at website.
Oh, yes, he did.
Prince Charles. Charles at 50, Queen stop, no chance stop.
Trevor MacDonald at news.at.10.bong.
MFI at unbeatable price slash, bracket missing, return no chance.
It's very nearly time to go, but let me first tell you what the I'm sorry I haven't a clue family is up to. Amongst the many honours heaped upon her, Samantha has become a roving ambassador for the government and has been asked on several occasions to sit on the national executive. Tim is in pantomime, essaying his favourite role as the villain. Every day he comes on briefly to boos and hisses before leaving. So, pretty much a standard gig for Tim. Graham has taken time off from his many TV and radio commitments to finish his first novel. The library say if it isn't back by next Thursday, he'll be fined again. And Barry is currently touring his one-man show. Not much of an audience, even by his standards. He's supported as ever by Colin Sell, whose work at the piano was described by one critic as timeless, by another as tuneless, and by a third as hopeless. Anyway, with the sound of Samantha's bells ringing in my ear, it's time to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. We couldn't leave you without this musical round. The people of Southsea had to put up with it, so I don't see why the rest of you shouldn't. Samantha, pull this for me. Okay, well, it's time for a musical round now called Dysfunctional Duets. In this round, teams, I'd like you to sing duets in the style of unlikely partnerships. The history of popular music is littered with strange pairings, as indeed was this stage earlier after Barry Cryer's novelty act of clipping his toenails to the tune of the trumpet voluntary.
As ever, Colin Sell will be providing backup on the piano, although that's by no means his only instrument. In fact, I have a cutting here from Jazz Monthly magazine written by their top reviewer. It reads, "When I heard Colin Sell playing the mouth organ, I rushed in just in time to catch his set. He really should use a stronger denture fix if he wants to." Who wants to blow that hard? You're to start, Tim and Sandy. Would you please sing Puff the Magic Dragon in the style of that well-known partnership, Peter, Paul and Mary Whitehouse?
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea.
Wait a minute, are there people with dragon in this?
Left in the autumn mist in a land called Annalise.
Oh, no, I don't think you can have that. That's rhyming slang for something disgusting, isn't it?
Little Jackie Paper.
Oh, no, there's children involved now.
Love that rascal Puff.
Oh!
And brought in strings and sealing wax.
Oh, I knew it.
And other fancy stuff.
No, don't tell me there's going to be thongs and rubberware and old strap-on things.
Together they would travel on boat with billow sails.
Oh, what does that mean? I know it's something revolting.
Jackie kept a lookout, perched on Puff's gigantic tail.
Oh, they're on top of each other now.
Noble kings and princes.
Defend that.
Well, there are no queens anyway. Would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flag when Puff roared out his name.
Oh, I've never heard anything so disgusting. You listen and you'll hear. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Okay, it's your turn, Barry and Graham. Would you please sing Wandering Star as Lee Marvin and his hairdresser?
I was born under a wandering star.
No!
I was born under a wandering star.
Wheels are made for rolling.
Mules are made to pack. Always pop a pair in a suitcase.
Never see the sight. That didn't look better looking back.
Yes.
I was born under a wandering star.
I know, you said.
Mud can make you prisoner.
And the plains can bake you dry.
I know. Snow can burn your eyes.
But I tell you, only people make you cry.
So true. Home is made for coming from.
Well, and for dreams of going to as well. Don't forget that.
Which, with any luck, will never come true.
No, never. A bit more off the bottom.
Take it easy round the edges. I was born.
Yes, I know.
Under the wandering star.
You can say that again.
A wandering.
A wandering.
Wandering.
Yes.
Star.
Well, I've enjoyed our little chat.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. Their guests were Jeremy Hardy, Paul Merton, Fred McCauley, Max Boyce and Sandy Toksvig. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.